some of the questions, and that hopefully will be helpful to us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning, and we thank you, Father, for the words that we've just read together that Jesus spoke. And we pray that you'd help us to understand what they mean. In his name, amen. Well, we are going to look at lots of sayings of Jesus over the summer, weeks of the summer, some of the famous sayings of Jesus. And this one that we have this morning is one of his famous ones. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's not those, I'm doing it in the reverse order, it's not those who are healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. In some ways, it's all about what do we need? What do we need? But there are two points that Jesus is making, and they are on the worksheets. Hopefully that will help you. The first point is that doctors must see patients. A savior must see sinners. Okay, I want you to imagine a scenario. I have asked Elsa to be a doctor, so I'm just going to ask her to come out here now and to be our doctor for us, because I'll give you, you've got something on there, and I'll give you something to wear on your head. This is actually a surgeon's hat, I think, but you're going to pretend to be a GP. And this is your notice, this is your clipboard, and you take your seat here. I'm going to become your, I'm just going to move that for you because you've got the microphone down there. And I'm going to be your secretary, and I'm going to bring some people for you to see. So I need some volunteers to come forward. Who wants to come? Not another one of my own children, I'm afraid, Elijah. No matter how much you crawl on your knees, I must choose somebody else. Okay, Ed, would you like to come? Let me give you one of these to hold. Okay, you can have this one. Now, who else would like to come forward? Go on then, Lucas. Great, you have a read of that. And anyone else? I see a little arm here. Go on then, Cameron. Now, you have a read of your sheets, and you line up over here, okay? Can you all read what it says on your sheet? Okay, you read what it says on your sheet? Okay, Cameron, you come and stand at the front of the queue. You stand at the back. Okay. Now turn around and face everybody and show them what you're holding. Okay. Now can you tell them what it says? Because it's a bit very small for them.
My big toe hurts.
Say that one more time.
My big toe hurts.
My big toe hurts. Wow, it really does sound like you need to go and see a doctor. Let's go. Doctor, I've got someone to see you. Their big toe hurts.
No, I'm sorry. Feet are disgusting. Next.
Oh, feet are disgusting next. Oh, I'm sorry. You'll have to go to another practice, I'm afraid. Our doctor refuses to see you. You take a seat down here for a sec. Let's see if we have more luck with the next patient. What does yours say?
I may have nits.
You show everyone. And say one more time.
I may have nits.
I may have nits. Oh, that's a problem, isn't it? Doctor, I've got someone here who has may have nits.
Not happy. I'm not seeing him. He's just that. No, just no.
She won't see you. I think she's worried about getting nits herself. Oh, dear. I'm sorry about that. You'll have to go to another practice. Okay, one last person. What does yours say?
I broke my arm.
Oh, what were you doing? I didn't tell you I was going to say that.
I was riding my bike and I crashed into the metal fence.
Brilliant. You see that? Improvisation. Perfect. Excellent. So you have broken your arm. Doctor, I have a patient here. He's broken his arm.
Broken arms make me feel sick. Can you? Yeah, no.
Broken arms make me feel sick. They make me feel sick, actually, if I see a broken arm. I'm sorry about that, Lucas. You'll have to go somewhere else. Well, our doctor hasn't been very good today. She's refused to see every patient. She wouldn't see the broken the hurt toe because she doesn't like feet. She wouldn't see the person who might have nits because she doesn't want to get them herself. And she wouldn't see the broken arm person because broken arms make the doctor feel sick. Well, Doctor, I'm afraid we can't give you a round of applause, but you can go and take your seat. Okay, that ridiculous scenario is the key to understanding part of what Jesus is saying. If you read the rest of the story, you will know that the reason Jesus says these words is because the Pharisees, now if you don't know what that means, the Pharisees were a group of ultra-religious rule keepers, and they thought that they were brilliant at keeping the rules. They thought that by keeping the rules, God would be happy with them, and they were certain that they had kept the rules. But they saw Jesus hanging around with people who were not like them, people who were rule breakers, people who everybody acknowledged had done things that were very wrong. The sinners and the tax collectors is what if you look at the story, it says. And Jesus was having dinner with them. I mean, he was having dinner with sinners and tax collectors, and these righteous people were like, what is he doing? How can he hang around with that crowd? Okay, so what they want, when you think about Jesus is saying, they want Jesus to be like this doctor, is what he's saying. You don't get it at all, do you, Pharisees? You don't understand my mission at all. If I was like you, I'd be like a doctor refusing to see the sick because they didn't want to hang around sick people. I'd be like this doctor that we had here on the stage. That's what you would make me like because of your crazy understanding of the Bible. I have not come to call the righteous, Jesus says. I've come to call sinners. So I must see sinners. Just like a doctor must see the sick. Now, note something. If you unpack that image in your mind, I'll just help you to do it for a sec, you will realize that Jesus is not saying that it's all right to be sinful, okay? Any more than a doctor would say it's okay to be sick. Got it? So Jesus is never condoning sin. Some people misunderstand him that way. They go, oh, Jesus he's got no problem with sin. No, Jesus did have a problem with sin, but he knew that he was the answer. Okay. So let's get that clear. Jesus isn't saying, I have no problem with their behavior. He's saying, I've come for these people. I've come to call these people. And just like a doctor must see the patients, no matter how sick they are, if the doctor is to make them well, I must see sinners. Get it into your minds, Pharisees. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. But you've got another problem, and that's the second point, which is why you can't see this. The Pharisees could not understand this because they didn't understand what's coming next. Okay, so on the sheet, we see first point, a doctor must see patients, a savior must see sinners. And before we move on, let me just throw out two questions. How well do we as a church reach people who are far from God? What is deeply disturbing is that oftentimes churches are the last place that people who are far from God would entertain going near. That is shocking. Have we become like the Pharisees, that sinful people would never think of going near a church because they're too good, those people? I'd have to behave in a certain way to go there. How well do we reach sinners? Would we be willing to make the changes in our church life that would be necessary to let sinners know, those who are far from God, all of us are sinners, by the way. We're not preaching that today, but all of us are sinners. But today we're thinking about, would we be willing to make the changes as a church that are needed for those who are far from God to feel welcome here? It's a good question. Okay, now the Pharisees didn't understand the second point, which is on the handout. A sick person needs a doctor. A sinful person needs Jesus. Now, you'll notice, actually, the way round that Jesus puts the verse. Remember the verse? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus actually puts it, the way he talks about it, is from the point of view of the sick person. He doesn't say, a doctor must spend time with patients, and therefore I must spend time with sinners. No, he sees it from the point of view of the sick person and what they need. A sick person needs a doctor. So we all understand need. So I'm going to ask a few questions as I walk around now. Okay, hands up if you know the answer. What does a hungry person need?
Food.
Yep, a hungry person needs food. What does a thirsty person need?
Water.
Good one, water. What does a cold person need?
Warmth.
And how can they get warmth?
Fire.
A fire or?
Air conditioning.
Well, that would make them cooler, I guess. But what else, Gus, can make a cold person warm?
Love and warmth.
Okay, so I'm going to get a little bit harder now. We've done hungry, thirsty, cold. Okay, here, this is going to get harder. What does an angry person need? What does an angry...
A therapist, me.
What else might an angry person like? That's a good one, therapist. Anything else?
Calmness.
Calmness, yeah.
Time out.
Time out.
Yoga class.
A yoga class. Nobody said a punch bag, but anyway. What does a sad person need? What does a sad person need?
Friends.
Friends? That's a good one. Anything else a sad person might need?
Sun, serotonin.
Serotonin. Wow, that's very medical. I like it. Serotonin. Anything else?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Good one. Okay. And a cup of tea.
We are English after all.
Okay, last one. What does a happy person need? What does a happy person need? A happy person? Anyone?
Someone else to be happy with.
Good one. Someone else to be happy with. That's absolutely true, isn't it? Happiness is something we like to tell people about. What does a happiness... Any other answers?
I think a cup of tea would do for all of these.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. Cool. Okay. So we understand the idea that when you have a need, there is something that... You know, when you've got a problem, sorry... Or some of those weren't problems, obviously, or not necessarily any of them were problems. It's not necessarily wrong to be angry. It's not wrong to be sad, but they are things that we might need to solve. So they are problems in that sense. Sometimes they need solving. And so we understand that therefore you have a need for something. If you're cold, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you have a need. What does a sinful person need? Jesus. Is what he's saying. Let me just say something to you that should shock you to the core of your being. This is the most shocking thing in the whole universe. There were people, and there still are today, that have such a view of themselves that they do not think they need Jesus Christ. There are people in the world whose view of themselves, some people, is such that they think they have no need of Jesus. In fact, the NIV, the translation we're using, slightly doesn't put the Greek as well as it could. Jesus actually says, those who are well have no need of a doctor, but the sick. That's interesting, isn't it? They have no need of a doctor if they're well. But similarly, if you think you're righteous, you have no need of Jesus. Now that is shocking. I'll tell you why it's shocking. Because everyone has need of Jesus. It's only our pretensions. It's only us lying to ourselves about the real state of our hearts that could ever lead anyone to say they have no need of Jesus. We're all sinful, as I said earlier. All of us have sinned, and therefore all of us have need of him. But they didn't think that. They didn't think they were sinful. They thought they were righteous. They thought they were good. And therefore they had no need of him. That is, by the way, can I just say before I move on very quickly, that concept, that idea that you would believe things about yourself and have no need of Jesus is particularly true of religious people. It was true in Jesus' day. It was the religious people who thought that. That's interesting, isn't it? It was always the religious people who thought they had the answers. And that is a massive challenge to us in church. Are we believing such things about ourselves that we actually don't think we have a need of Jesus? Now, The thing that Jesus says that will show you your need of him is a knowledge of your sin. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So it's the knowledge of our sin that shows us our need. And that is good news. So I'm going to finish with excellent news. You know, Jesus knew that he was going to go to the cross and die. That was where he was going to end up for our sins. He was going to give his life. That's an incredible price he paid because of our rebellion and sin. That's how much we need him. And the good news is, here's the good news. If you are someone who knows the reality of your heart and the things you've done wrong in your life, there's an answer. There's a physician, there's a doctor, there's a savior, Jesus. And all we need to do is trust him, and he will take it all on himself. And he will give us his spirit so that we can live a new life. What wonderful news. There is a doctor. He came to call us sinners to repentance, to new life. Great news. And so that's why one of the reasons we have a confession in every single service that we meet together is to acknowledge that we need the Savior because of our sins. So let me just say, as I pray for us now, let's celebrate this great news that we can come just as we are without pretending that we're right and we've not done anything wrong. We can come just as we are to Jesus, and he will cleanse us and set us free. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus, who came to call not the righteous but sinners, to give us new life, to give us hope, a future, and to cleanse us by going to the cross and rising for us. So may you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as Tom prayed, we're going to sing a song, a classic hymn that speaks of that coming to God just as we are. Not with pretension, not with a picture of what we think we should be like, but just as we are. Please stand if you're able and let's sing together.